former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome into the Lombardi Line, the show, as always, presented by DraftKings. Stormy Bonatoni with you and in for Michael Lombardi. He's getting some well-deserved time away. Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. You're playing hurt today, so I appreciate you joining us.
Not so much hurt, Stormy. Good morning. Just I haven't felt right since I went back to the calendar to look at it, January 30th. It was the Tuesday between the first week between the championship games and Super Bowl. And that's when the media really started. And that morning I had to get up and be at Stadium Swim at 4 a.m. and do these hits with the San Francisco morning show. But like we were standing in the water with our pants rolled up. Reed Cowan, who used to be here in Las Vegas, is the anchor there. So I knew him. But, you know, it was like 48 degrees and we were there 3 hours doing hits each hour. And I kind of got sick from that. And I just haven't really felt 100% between an ear infection and bronchitis. So gradually it's getting better. The antibiotics worked better for the kids than they did for my wife and I. Let's put it that way.
This is the worst time to be feeling bad, too, because like you said, around the Super Bowl, now we just flipped the calendar to March today. We've got March Madness and all this stuff coming around. So hopefully it starts to go away. You're decked out in your Mountain West stuff today, too. Is that the tournament you're most excited for?
I am actually excited. I almost always go to the Mountain West tournament, even from when I first came to Vegas and Jimmer Fredette was at BYU and, you know, Kawhi was at San Diego State. Those were really good. If Steve Alford was at New Mexico.
Five teams in the tournament.
Tim Miles was at Colorado State then. Those were really good. And I think it's always very good. But we're also in the process of locking up some more of the media, football media days and some events with Mountain West and becoming one of their partners. And it was great when it was here last summer. And I think they're going to, like they had the main stage in the pre-function area up on three. I think they're going to try to do it right here at the book. Like we're Derek's section in the middle there at the underhang. So we're going to do a walkthrough next Friday morning before I do the show with you, in fact. So, yeah, I had Mountain West on my mind.
Very cool. Yeah, it was beautiful, the setup that they had upstairs here at Circa for Mountain West Football Media Days. And yeah, to your point, seeing that relationship grow will be great. The tournament will be one of five that are coming up here in Vegas next week. This time next week, we'll be in officially a conference championship tournament week, which will be a lot of fun. We'll talk a little more college basketball later on in the show when VSiN's own Aaron Moore joins us. He has a couple plays for today. Not the best card today, but it's okay. We'll get through.
There's actually two top 25 games tonight. And speaking of Mountain West, Utah State,
yeah,
taking on a bad Air Force team. And then a really good matchup in the A-10. So with Loyola Chicago and Dayton. So I actually get two top 25 games on a Friday
tomorrow
night.
Tomorrow we get Tennessee, Alabama, and Baylor,
Alabama's
Kansas.
Fading a little bit here. Yeah, we've got a good lineup tomorrow. Tomorrow feels like, you know, I know next Saturday is the last Saturday before the tournament and the rivalry week and Duke Carolina and all that. But tomorrow feels very important for a lot of teams in terms of their seeding and then their spot in the conference and whether they make it or not.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time here down the stretch. Also, in the NBA last night, LeBron and the Lakers, the second night of a back-to-back, saw the 9-win Wizards take them down to the wire, force overtime. The Lakers hold on to win 134-131, but LeBron now 4 points shy of 40,000. So I'm sorry anybody who had him reaching the mark in the Wizards game. That bet did not cash for you, but 9 points away now.
Will this change how people view LeBron, the 40,000? Well, I don't know. I mean, I think people are very dead set in their beliefs about, are you Jordan? Are you LeBron? Are you a Kobe? You know what I mean? These arguments are.
Are you on one side or the other?
Well, I don't know how you argue against 6-for-6 with 6 MVP in the finals. That's just you know what I mean? In all the biggest moments. And
I think it's a different argument. It's similar to like Tom Brady being the GOAT. The longevity portion of it, I think, is LeBron's part, right?
When people ask me who's the best quarterback, I thought, watching them, not regardless of time, I thought Montana was the best quarterback, but you can't argue with Brady because of what he did, and then he did it with multiple teams and all that. The most impressive thing about LeBron to me was that double overtime game they played at Golden State about a month ago on a Saturday night, where he played the most minutes of his career.
That was the most impressive, not them coming from 21 down in the fourth quarter against the Clippers.
I would have watched it if I thought there was still a game. I thought it was over early. You know, last night I was looking to put together some, and I did some money line parlays with live events and stuff. And I looked at this game. They were ahead a couple points over the Wizards. And I said, no, I'm not putting the Lakers in because I could see them losing this game off that win last night. I ended up not including them. It would have won, but I would have been aggravated the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is interesting, your point, though. Some of the moments that he's had this year, despite being almost 40 years old, he's still doing what he's doing at such a high level. The Lakers, by the way, the ninth seed of the Western Conference standings, three games back, though, of that five spot. So it's very tight there for those teams that are situated to be in the play-in. Wemby and the Spurs also last night. That was a shocker. I didn't see that coming at all. Mm-hmm. But
do you trust these teams at the top of the West that haven't been there before, like the Minnesotas and the OKCs, with this core group that hasn't made a playoff run yet? I always think the NBA is like really a stepladder, and you have to progress each year, right? And you're like, you knock on the door till you finally beat the best team and things like that. It's very hard. Like, you don't, in the NFL, every year there's a division, somebody goes from worst to first, right? That doesn't happen in the NBA, right? It's a much more of a gradual process. So for me, like, when you say, is Boston or Denver a better bet to win the NBA championship?
Say Denver.
I say Denver because I don't trust these, like, I don't trust these other teams at the top of the West that haven't been there and done that. Whereas I like in the East, I still think the Heat will be a tough out. The Knicks might be a tough out. I like the Cavaliers. You could make that argument against haven't done enough yet. And you still have Giannis sitting there for all the troubles they've had, right? So I just feel like there might be more competition in the East than in the West. And obviously Denver's more than double the price right now as well.
It feels like Denver and the Clippers are those top two teams. But in the East, that's an interesting point that you think that there's more competition on that standpoint. Because I feel like I've heard a lot of people say it's the Celtics and everybody else.
Well, they're like minus now to win the East, right? And I don't know, but we've seen this team, you know, be great in the regular season. I know they made the finals against the Warriors 2 years ago, but they also lost to an eight seed in the conference finals last year. So we'll see. I do think that the future bets on the Celtics for coach of the year and Tatum for MVP are interesting, though. I mean, if this team wins 65 or 66 games, that has to go a long way to the voters' minds in those races.
Well, I wonder too, like, I keep on looking at the MVP odds, I feel like every single day, and you have Nikola Jokic, who's the odds on favorite still there, but like, does Jason Tatum get any look at 30-1 with the best player on the best team if they end up ultimately like coming on down the stretch and staying playing at the level that they are?
I think Femi bet him at 100-1 like 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Do you think that's worthwhile?
I thought it was worthwhile at that price, and now you've seen it drop. It has to play out, and where the others go, and what they end up with. I mean, where does Denver end up as a seed in the West? Right? Do they end up the four? And Boston wins the East by 10 games. I mean, that's got to be worth something. And when you look at MVP, the teams, it's very important how the teams end up. So I obviously wouldn't bet Jokic at a minus price. SGA is a really good player. I mean, he's, you know, if you would have said 3 years ago, is this guy going to win an MVP? I probably would have said no. He could win an MVP. I mean, he absolutely could win it. Then at that point, I would go down to Tatum at that point. I think SGA and Tatum would be the only two bets I would make on this board.
I feel like, and granted, like, I'm still making my transition to the NBA, but like, based on the stuff that I've been watching lately and trying to listen in on all of the analysts and some of those podcasts and stuff, I feel like Shea is the most realistic bet if there's one to be made at this point right now. But like, if Luka, with all the point production that he has, if that starts translating into wins down the stretch, I could see that being realistic. And Giannis is doing like career numbers in a lot of areas for himself. I wonder too, if for whatever reason with the new regime and Doc, if they can put things together. Do you think this win streak recently is fluky, or do you think that's going to be for real down the stretch? How do you view Milwaukee?
Well, we'll have to see, because defensively their efficiency is awful. So I don't know if you can translate that. I also think if you take points off Giannis because, you know, the coaching change, he wanted the coach and then he got the coach fired. You know what I mean? So right. I think people will look on that in the course of this year as in terms of his MVP. So
I was just sad. I took a very small future out on Kawhi Leonard, and then that all but died in the head to head with OKC. I was very disappointed, but you know, I love, like, I don't have a team in the NBA. I basically have just rooted for wherever Kawhi goes.
Yeah. Well, you had some good runs here.
Yeah.
Now they just need to do something with the Clippers.
Well, and this feels like the year that that could be realistic if they stay healthy, right? If he and Paul George and James Harden are doing this.
I actually bet Ty Lue at 100-1 for coach of the year, just to take a little flyer. I don't think the ticket's going to get there. But I mean, it seems like when they want to in certain spots, this team can be very good on the defensive end of the court. And of course, they made the big transition when they put Russ as the sixth man coming off the bench instead of in the starting lineup.
I did want to ask you about this unders run. NBA unders 5-3 last night, eighth straight day now that unders have been 500 or better, 46-18-1 to the under since the break. Has this run its course now? Like, are we going to start seeing a flip?
It defies a lot of logic to me. I know coming off an all-star break, I like to bet NHL unders first game back, right? They don't have their legs, but this is going on now for 2 weeks. So it's got to revert to the mean, right? Revert back to the mean. The run, one night was 10-0, and then the next night was like 9-0-1. I mean, it was like 19-0-1 over 2 days.
Yeah, it was truly, it was ridiculous. Right? It was like 2 or 3 day stretch that was just insane. And so that's why I wonder, like, if it starts to turn, if it's going to be a drastic turn, if from a bookmaking perspective, if there's a significant adjustment now, or if you just kind of stay status quo.
I think at this point, once you get beyond a week's time, you have to just go back to the numbers. And I mean, if the trend continues, then you can look at it. But
46-18-1 to the under since the break. It is
so hard to bet unders in this league too. I mean, it's hard to sweat these games when they just fire up threes and they just go back. Like they're never going to dribble the ball. So, oh, the shot clock's running now.
Speaking of threes, your girl Caitlin Clark saying that she's going to declare for the draft.
Well, it's interesting because I think the money would have been comparable with the amount of NIL. I mean, she's number one all time with Fanatics now.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's still going to have all the brand deals, yeah, even with her going to the league. Speaking of the draft, the NBA draft, combine talk, all that and more coming up when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. We've got a fresh new look on the website, plus enhanced navigation and a mobile-first focus, but all that same great content currently on the front page. Best bet articles, trend reports, and betting splits for college hoops, the NBA, and NHL. Plus, our guy Adam Burke has bolstering his MLB betting content every day. In addition to the free betting primer and spring training best practices, he's got articles coming up on World Series futures, awards markets, and division breakdowns being added into the fold. Again, head over to vsin.com. This is the Lombardi Line. Mike Palm and Stormy Bonantoni with you coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get into some college hoops with VSiN's own Aaron Moore. In hour two, we'll have ESPN's Field Yates join the program, talk a little bit about what's been going on in Indy at the Combine. And today we had the quarterback arrivals, a bunch of quarterbacks going to the podium, talking to reporters. Yesterday, it was the defensive line and linebackers working out. Today, we'll have DBs and tight ends. Tomorrow, quarterbacks outside of the top three guys will all do their workouts, throwing, wide receivers, running backs. And on Sunday, we'll have the offensive line. Any of the headlines and news that have come out about the quarterbacks today that stood out to you, Mike?
I believe, and I'm not a big draft bettor, I just believe the Bears are forced to take Caleb Williams because of the narrative, and because if they don't and he blows up and becomes a great player, they're going to be, you know, they're all going to be gone, right? I think you have to defend it. But he continues to me, all the signs of this guy, I'm not sure about his leadership and his intangibles. It kind of devolved at USC as the year went on last year, and now he's, you know, he's not 32 teams can draft him, so he's not going to do these general tests. He'll do them for specific. He's got a very sort of different outlook, I guess. And some of the things he says are strange to me, but I think there'll be still. I think the draft debate is at two, and that's where the betting action, right? I can see that that's going to be a market that might go back and forth between Daniels and Maine. I think it's a very interesting choice.
Sure. I mean, right now, Caleb Williams -1,000 to be the top overall pick, -900 for that pick to go to the Chicago Bears. I know there has been some talk about maybe the Commanders would be willing to trade up to ensure that they could get Caleb Williams and connecting the dots with he and Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah. I don't know about all that. To your point about the Bears position that they're in, can you imagine if 2 years in a row they have the top overall pick and they had the opportunity to have CJ Stroud, or if Caleb Williams blows up and you didn't get either one of them to be that next piece for you? Like, as if they haven't made enough mistakes in developing quarterbacks. Now you're not even having the opportunity to try. So well, I'm with you there.
They have this pick because they didn't take Stroud, right? And they ended up getting this pick from Carolina. So now, if you don't, what would you have to get to keep going here? I mean, and what can you, three number ones? I mean, I don't know. And, you know, I mean, are they going to just say, okay, Fields is the guy? I mean, that they would almost have to do that. I mean, what are they going to flip one and two? They're high on Daniels. They're very, very high on Daniels.
That's what I think they would do. Just flip one and two, take whatever compensation Daniels.
It'd have to be for Daniels. It couldn't be if they liked May.
And so that's the thing. I don't know if you've been seeing this, but not only has like the Daniels conversation heated up, mm-hmm. but you're hearing top analysts across the board saying for them, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are one A, one B, or even Daniels is the better quarterback. They would prefer to take Jaden Daniels. How do you feel about that?
I think Daniels is better than May. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams. And then, you know, I watched him go into Notre Dame and be horrible in that game at Notre Dame. I'm with you. I remember Daniels at Arizona State. So the transformation last year seems a bit, it's hard for me to throw away what I saw in Arizona State.
Exponential growth in a short amount of time.
I also think that the LSU defense was so bad that they got so many more possessions that those stats are a little misleading, right? At the same time, he's very, very dynamic. And this stat about every time he has a play, it's over 10 yards, right? This human first down, it's hard not to think about that, right?
He's got that and the 17 touchdowns, zero interceptions when blitzed. Like there are certain things like that that stand out and you're like, okay, well, that's transferable to the NFL. That sounds good.
I mean, to be taking a big chance. I think from a betting perspective, I guess that Daniels will go before May is the bet that I would make right now. Okay. Like I just... It's funny to me how these North Carolina quarterbacks get that, and you know it's two, but like they don't really do, they didn't
Mitch
do anything.
Trubisky,
they
did, Sam
they,
Howell,
they weren't yeah. tremendous. You know, they didn't do anything tremendous with their teams or take their teams to new heights or even, you know, conference championships, and they get thrown up there like it's quarterback. You, I mean, unlike Mac Jones is a quarterback whisperer. So for me, I don't kind of get that. So. We'll have a lot of fun, and I know this program especially will, with all the nuances that go on here.
Oh, and it's lying season, so that's always fun. When Michael comes back, we'll get into that more. But again, Caleb Williams, -1,000 to be the top overall pick. Drake May is a -115 favorite to go two, and Jaden Daniels +140 to go three. But again, Daniels catching a lot of steam lately, the way that he's been talked about from personnel folks. And all three of those quarterbacks will not be throwing at the combine tomorrow. Williams on the podium today saying he played 30 or so games, so go rewatch the live ball and see how he is a competitor. You also referenced him not doing the medical. He is reportedly the first player ever to come to the combine and not do the medical portion of things. He said 32 teams can't draft him. He's one guy. The teams that he goes to visit, he will do the medical, give the information to them. He did give us, though, an idea of his measurables. Take a listen.
It's the first time I'm hearing about my height and size. You know, I'm around Aaron Rodgers size and maybe weight too. 215, 220, and 6'1", 6'2".
He also said in an interview with ESPN's Pete Thamel this week, he'd be excited to go to the Bears or wherever he gets drafted. And this morning on the podium talked about the unique situation that the Bears are in having the number one overall pick.
It's the first time I'm hearing about my height and size. You know, I'm around Aaron Rodgers size and maybe weight too. 215.
Okay, so that wasn't quite what I was looking for, but okay, we have the real one. Let's play that one.
I mean, the Bears was an 8-9 team last year, I believe, and 7-10, sorry, and you know, that's pretty good for a team that has the first pick, and they got a good defense, they got good players on offense, and you know, it's pretty exciting, you know, if you can go into a situation like that.
Should we be at all concerned that he doesn't know his height or the record of the team that's likely going to draft him?
I'm concerned because there's a big difference between 7-10 and 8-9 when your win total was 7.5. I'm going to tell you that right now.
That's an excellent point.
There's a big difference. Everything is so loosey-goosey with this guy, right? This is your life here, right? I mean, this is your profession. Think if somebody's taking the medical boards and, I don't know what I studied. I don't know what I... He's just kind of an oddball, kind of out there. So I don't know. I'm sure he's going to give us a lot more sound bites here.
I mean, so the thing with him is, and I think I referenced the Pete Thamel article with ESPN this week. I do think it was good that he came out this week and said, a lot of the things that have been portrayed about me from a narrative standpoint of I'm not going to want to go to this team if they have the first pick, or I need to have ownership in a team, just kind of acknowledging those narratives and saying I'm going to be excited to go wherever I'm going to go. And for me, at least yesterday, that was a reminder that a lot of the stuff that we've heard about Caleb Williams, generally speaking, has been from reporters or has been from his dad, who's his manager, and other things. Like, his dad is more of a concern for me than Caleb Williams himself, most likely at this point. The one thing about Caleb Williams that he has had control over that I really, really dislike about him, big picture, is the fact that after losses at USC, he wouldn't speak to media. Like, that's a weird red flag to me, because you're going to have to, in the National Football League, up and take ownership.
Not allowed to do that in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one red flag about Caleb Williams that we know tangibly was he and Lincoln Riley's decision that he did not do, that I think is interesting about his personality.
He did know the Bears had a good defense. At least we can give him that, which they had the best run defense.
Down the stretch.
They were playing well. I had to sweat that 7.5. I thought it was a lock early in the year, and then I had to sweat it in the last week. Thank God the Packers came through there. It's always those pesky dads, though, isn't it? It's always the Jack Elways and the...
They want to be coach, manager, agent, everything except dad, pretty much. Also, we had a quote from Drake May with Tom Pelissero. You don't want a game plan for me. You want a game plan with me. Thoughts?
Very confident, I guess.
He really is a humble kid, though. I haven't heard him
speak a lot. You've interviewed him on the sideline.
Yeah, I've talked to him a couple times. We've been in those, you know, pre-game meetings and everything. And he's a little bit quieter, humble, mild mannered. Seems like a really good kid with a good head on his shoulders. But unfortunately, the games that I have been on the sideline for, he has not played particularly well.
Did you ever cover Iowa State when Purdy was there?
I did not.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I did my first Iowa State game the year after he left. All right. So sorry, I didn't.
Interesting to get your take and then see where he's come to.
But I have talked to like a lot of his old coaches. I did a USF game this year with Alex Golish, who coached him there, and just like a bunch of guys on that staff that were very, very complimentary about the person and like competitor and confidence that he had. And they were like, I know it's hard when somebody's drafted last to have any, like, you can say in hindsight, okay, yeah, I saw this. But we always talked about him in a way that he's seen now, which is cool.
That's a false narrative, that Mr. Irrelevant. The guy started 47 games in Ames. You know what I mean?
He's not a schlub.
No, not at all.
I'm sick of it. It's awful. We're going to get into plenty more combine talk. A lot of news and notes coming out of the NFL today that we'll get to. But when we return, turning gears to college basketball with Aaron Moore. Stay with us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the usual $240. Just use our promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. We've got betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, use that promo code Lombardi. That'll get you your first year of VSiN Pro access for $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. And we are right around the corner from the madness because the calendar is officially flipped to March today. Mike Palm and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in Aaron Moore, sports media professor, vsin.com contributor, joining us now to dive in a little deeper to college hoops. Do you have any advice, by the way, just for bettors trying to look at some of the lines for these last couple of games before conference tournaments, before we get to the NCAA tournament? What stands out to you?
Well, thanks for having me, Stormy and Mike. I think right now one of the main handicapping aspects of looking at the board is, are teams running out of gas? How are teams performing home and away in these revenge games that you've had basically 20 plus games to really understand where these teams are. I don't think the books are going to give any lines that have any holes in them. So at this point, before the real March Madness, the conference tournament start, you're doing situational handicapping. The numbers are very solid. So I want to look at teams on the road. I want to look at teams' recent performance. I want to look at teams that maybe have slowed down a little bit because of what they've done earlier in the year. So at this point of the year, it really is situational handicapping.
Professor Moore, I want to ask you about a team that I bet at 175-1 back in December. And I want to ask you about running out of gas, more specifically an injury situation. But they've won 16 in a row, and they'll take on Gonzaga on Saturday at St. Mary's. You know, it took them a while to figure out those pieces and put them together. But I think this is Randy Bennett's best version that we've seen. And maybe I thought they were getting discredited a little bit because Gonzaga is not the Gonzaga we've known for two decades. Your thoughts on St. Mary's going forward? They could enter the tournament on like a 22-game winning streak.
So, Mike, in our Visa and preseason guide, St. Mary's was one of the teams I wrote about that could be this year's Florida Atlantic. So I definitely like them and what they're doing. What you're saying about Randy Bennett's best team, it's definitely their most athletic team. I like the way that they can score. In the past, the St. Mary's team, we liked them going into the tournament. There was a certain wild card aspect to them, but they weren't going to outscore anybody. So the way that backcourt can now play at a little bit of a faster pace and play that defense, I really do like St. Mary's to be one of those teams that maybe surprises the public and you're not expecting them. Oh, it's Gonzaga coming out of the West Coast, and all of a sudden it's St. Mary's. So I do like the increased athleticism, the ability to score with St. Mary's. And one of the things that I think we see is there's a lot of defensive centric teams that are going to get your attention come March, and you want to bet them, and maybe you want to take the under, and you think that defensive team could be a good underdog to back. Well, can they score? St. Mary's can score. You can see what they've done in the West Coast Conference. Definitely a team at that price, Mike. Ways to monetize that ticket. Get them into the Sweet 16, and that's looking really good.
Aaron, are there any teams right now that you look at the odds board and think are worth firing on a bet right now, or that you're even just targeting for come Selection Sunday when you kind of know the path a little bit?
There's two ways of approaching it. Do you hold your money now and wait for those brackets to come out and see who they would play and what hurdles they have to get by? Well, you're going to lose some odds at that way. So you could look at it now and getting some higher odds and taking a little bit of a risk, not knowing the matchups. And Stormy, one of the teams that I would look at right now is Creighton 30-1. I think that is a number when those brackets are released on Selection Sunday, that 30-1 is going to be a lot lower. They're slated in that three line, and looking back last year, they're very similar to the profile of Baylor. At the start of the tournament last year, Baylor was 18-1. So that 30-1 Creighton right now looks really good for me in terms of getting the value. And I think this is a Final Four worthy team. They certainly were Final Four worthy last year, then a bad call went against them. You can get this team at 30-1 with the hopes of not only monetizing the ticket, getting them to the Final Four. And one of the things I really like about Creighton is they are number one in the country with the fewest fouls. So you get this team, and particularly a 7-footer in Ryan Kalkbrenner, he stays on the court. So far, Creighton's biggest win this year was against UConn. And what happened in that game? UConn's big man, Donovan Klingland, got in foul trouble. Kalkbrenner was out there, and that team took it to UConn. So I like what Creighton has. I think they could be a Final Four team. And at 30-1, it's a pretty big value. Now, these odds might change a little bit slightly, or there might be a little bit more interest, or perhaps people are going to cool on Creighton. They play tomorrow against Marquette, one of the bigger games in the Big East season. It's at Creighton. You know the fans in Omaha are going to be pumped up for that. So I think if you're looking for a team before the brackets come out, look at Creighton at 30-1, because that number might change when we see who's playing who on Selection Sunday.
Professor, I want to ask you about one more team before we get into these two games tonight that I have, and that's Clemson. I think they're flying a little bit below the radar. They're 100-1 now. I got them at 125-1. They're a net top 25 team. I know the ACC is down because you look at it, it's Carolina and Duke, and those are the only two rated teams. And you say, oh, Virginia's the third best team, and they can't score. Does Clemson have the potential to get to the second weekend?
You know, Mike, I think I'm going to disagree with you here on Clemson. And we're just talking about a defensive-minded team, Brad Brownell's team, always good defensively. Girard can score from the outside. I think Clemson is getting a little bit of attention because of that weak, diluted ACC field. I think if this was a normal ACC season, I don't think Clemson would be where they are. They're kind of taking advantage, I think, of that depressed ACC. It's crazy to say that the ACC is down. So the ACC is down and Clemson is definitely up. And it's been a team the last two or three years you were expecting to go into March, and they've just had very bad end of the season runs. They should get into the tournament. I think, does Lenardi have them like a 6-7 seed, something in that ballpark? I just think they are a byproduct of that diluted ACC season.
Okay, what you got for us tonight? Because we were joking in the break that a lot of these bigger conferences, you can have your SEC, you can have your Big 12. I want some MAC. So what are you looking at this evening?
Stormy, Friday night, you think of two things, the MAC and the Ivy League. And that's enough to get college basketball fanatics going. I'm looking at two games in the MAC, and they play a Friday-Sunday schedule in the MAC. So think about that. You've got Fairfield at Marist. I'm playing the under 137 in this game. And this is an interesting matchup and talking about something late in the season. This is the number one offense in the MAC being Fairfield and the number one defense in the MAC being Marist. And Marist loves to keep the game in the low 60s. They played earlier this year and it was way off for Marist. It was 82-61 Fairfield. Now it comes back to Poughkeepsie for the game at Marist. I think they keep them in the low 60s. And looking at it once again, what you were talking about, how to handicap teams, Fairfield, we have seen their body of work. Fairfield can score at home. They're the top scoring team in the MAC because they can score at home. On the road, the offense is much different. So I'm going to give the advantage here to Marist. I don't want to play them to win the game, but I do think it's going to be their game. So I'm taking the under. And then the other one is Mount St. Mary's Canisius. Now talk about Kentucky and talk about Houston and Purdue. No, we're talking about Canisius right now. So it's Mount St. Mary's at Canisius. And I'm taking Canisius as a short home favorite here. And the interesting part of that, looking at it, is Mount St. Mary's to Canisius, Maryland to Buffalo. This is the hardest trip in the MAC, so you're going to have a little bit of a disadvantage here for Mount St. Mary's. This is another revenge game. It was 74-69 in early January. That was at Mount St. Mary's. So now they're taking this game to Buffalo. And Canisius was my surprise team to win the MAC, and they have played very poorly in the beginning of the year. And that loss to Mount St. Mary's came during the beginning of the year. Canisius is playing a little bit better, winning three of their last four games. So I think they're getting Mount St. Mary's at a good time, and we're getting a short home favorite here. I like that in the MAC. And think about it this way. Get some MAC action on Friday night, and then Saturday, you're looking at the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and those games that are on television. These games you're not really going to find too easily on television.
Going to make sure you have your ESPN Plus subscription. Really, really good stuff as always, Aaron. Appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you very much, guys, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Professor.
The Professor, Aaron Moore.
He wrote a great article about college baseball, where he called me the Jonas Salk of sports betting.
Oh,
that's
wow.
A first. I usually get Madame Curie.
Oh, this is going to be a fun day. We've got to hit the break. Back to the NFL when we return on the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Stormy Bonantoni.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. That's VSIN. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Story Bonantoni and Mike Palm with you live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Talking a little NFL MVP candidates who are worth a look, because it's never too early, Mike, don't you know? Never too early to look ahead in the NFL.
I guess not. When I saw the rundown, I got excited. I was putting together NBA MVPs, but then I came to my senses and said, this must be NFL.
It is the NFL show. So that's the thing. That's the thing. Obviously, Lombardi Line is a unique show compared to all the rest of them, because we have the Lombardi name on it. We want to make sure we do a little more football.
We're going to do more hockey, though, on Fridays.
Today, yes. Oh, yeah. So this is the first of many Fridays to come that you and I will be working together.
I'd probably tell August.
Yes, exactly. We rotated the schedule around for me because spring football is coming up. And
what's
most
your
of my
league
games
called now?
Sunday.
What's the new name of the
UFL.
League? UFL. Which is the combination of USFL and XFL.
Correct. And so like the divisions or the conferences are, one's an XFL conference, one's a USFL conference. So
are you excited?
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. It honestly, from a broadcasting perspective, is one of the funnest things that I do, because there's so much access and it's so free throw.
It's actually a very high quality production. Too.
Thank you. I think
so. No, it is. So that's, I know people that watch any football, right? You can't get enough of football, but it's actually very well produced.
Yeah. And from a betting standpoint too, we're unique in the standpoint that we talk about live lines during the game. Like my open hits 90% of the time last year were about the odds in the game and any line movement that we had coming in. So it's a fun watch from that standpoint. And we try to create betting opportunities within it, but we'll talk about the UFL a little bit later. We'll stick to what we got going on in the National Football League for now. And producer Steph tasked us with ranking our top five NFL MVP candidates for next year, where we sit right now. And obviously a lot is going to change as we get closer to the season with free agency. And there are some quarterbacks that we're still trying to figure out where they're going to land. But as of right now, your number five quarterback, worth a look, who you got?
So this was a tough one for me. I had to come up with a fifth one. And I wanted to come up with a longer shot. I landed on Kirk Cousins off the comeback here, right? And we all know he can put up big statistics. I think that the North is going to be a very interesting division this year. Obviously, you have the Lions, who were, 30 minutes, 27 minutes, 20, however you want to say it, from going to the Super Bowl. You have the Packers and Jordan Love, who are on the rise. You have the Bears potentially having Caleb Williams out there on the field. And you have Minnesota on the comeback off Cousins. Remember when he got hurt, they were trending up. They had just beaten San Francisco. And there was high thoughts. I know everyone's very high on O'Connell, their head coach, their offensive plan. And I just think he's flying a little bit under the radar here in a quarterback-driven league. When you think about all these quarterbacks that are ahead of him in the odds market here, to have him be down, as the 12th, 15th, 18th highest quarterback in these odds, we could take a little bit of a flyer with Kirk Cousins here.
And again, the assumption is that he's going to play with Minnesota.
That's my assumption. Yes.
Is that an important caveat for you? Like it more or less if he was at Atlanta or at somewhere else?
I would like it less, most likely.
Okay.
It would add more uncertainty to it to me.
Yeah. And it looks like Justin Jefferson's going to get paid and they're going to try to keep that group together. Kevin O'Connell, it appears, would really like to have Kirk Cousins there. It's just coming off the Achilles to me that makes it a little bit questionable. But at 40-1, I don't blame you. I considered for my number five, Jared Goff. I considered Anthony Richardson. I even considered Deshaun Watson at 60-1. If he could come back healthy and give a semblance of what he was years ago, but I ended up just settling on Dak Prescott, 15-1. And because this is a regular season award, someone that finished second in the voting this past year, he's going to get the passing stats. He's going to get the numbers. And again, it has no implications of what might happen in the playoffs or the postseason. I just wonder if the narrative about him might play into him not winning the award. That's my one concern I have with Dak.
That he can't win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Are you concerned at all about what was going on with him and Lamb and that and the loss? That was a very strange start to that game.
It was weird, but I also feel like probably like all of the stuff that's been talked about Dak from like the families and stuff. I just think that was maybe blown out of proportion a little bit. This is not my favorite bet on the board. Let's just put it that way.
I get it.
Five for a reason. Who's four?
I have CMC McCaffrey. And there was a scenario here this past year on that Christmas night game when Purdy was imploding with all the interceptions, that if they could have come back and won that game behind McCaffrey and he could have rushed for 100 yards and he had a big run in the first half, but they got so far behind and got away that he could have won the MVP. I wanted to throw one non-quarterback in here. I know it's hard to do, but he is such a dominant player. And, you know, if you look at the Super Bowl, they went away from him in the second half, right? They totally abandoned the running game. They didn't even look to really target him in the passing game in that third quarter. And then when they got the game to overtime, I mean, he was their whole drive down the field. I think he's so talented, and San Francisco having so much talent around him, you know, you have to pick your poison when you defend them. Who you want to try to take away, because you can't take away everybody. I think of all the non-quarterbacks, he has the best chance to be the most impactful and put up the most gaudy statistics. And at 35-1, I included him fourth.
I would agree, but he's been healthy now 2 years in a row, and that scares me. I don't know if that'll be as consistent, but reigning offensive player of the year, we know how important he is to everything that the 49ers do. And Brock Purdy, we know people don't like to give him the credit for that. So I think that's a very reasonable decision, although Brock Purdy is your number three. So you would throw them both in there.
I put Purdy in here as well. I think he's very, very good, and he's going to be on a team that's going to be San Francisco's going to win 11, 12, 13 games again this year. He's got all the weapons around him. Look, if he doesn't have that meltdown on Christmas night, he might have been your MVP. He was minus $2 going into that game, and he came out of it 20-1.
That's what lost him the MVP and won it for Lamar Jackson. That game, no question.
Absolutely. All off of one game. So, and when you look at the MVP race, it's not like Lamar put up gaudy stats. They weren't his best stats of all time. The team was so good, and people saw him in that moment. So I think Purdy has to be considered. I think 20-1 is just too long of a price, right? I would think that he would be more in the 12-14-1 range. So at 20-1, I included him third.
Yeah, the quarterback that's on the team favored in the wheelhouse to win a Super Bowl again. So 20-1 for him, 35-1 Christian McCaffrey, 40-1 Kirk Cousins. My four was Jordan Love at 12-1. And I know he's number two. He's on your list as well. But he went through a stretch down the back end of the season leading into that divisional round loss to San Francisco, where he had 21 touchdowns and one pick. Like, if he can pick up where he left off in any semblance with that young roster, and if Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs stay healthy, you got Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrave. There's a lot of opportunity, I think, with that offense.
So he's like 1A for me. I think he and Burrow are like actual bets I would make. Those are the two I would make. Stormy, if this award was just the last 9 weeks of the year, he wins it. Mm-hmm. He was your MVP for the last 9 weeks of the year. Think about that.
Accurate, efficient, everything.
Everything. They had that offense rolling. He was terrific. And that's your point. Can he replicate it? Now everybody's got the tape on him, right? They got the full year in. But if he can come close to that, he's very live. I know Femi. I think Femi made this bet at 25-1 already.
Have you seen anything on Bakhtiari?
I have not.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything on a decision for him if they want to bring him back. He's just always injured. So you mentioned Burrow. So he's your number one. Your one, Joe Burrow. Two, Jordan Love. Then three, Brock Purdy, McCaffrey, Cousins. Mine down the stretch. I have Mahomes as my number one because he is until someone, like, it just, he's always going to be in the mix, I feel like, every year, even when he doesn't have the weapons. He just finds a way. So Mahomes is on there. He's the best quarterback in the league. And that's just how it is right now. If Burrow stays healthy, I have him too at 10-1. And then I threw in Justin Herbert at 12-1 also, just because of the Jim Harbaugh effect. And I don't know if the Chargers have the capability of being one of those worst of firsts in the division with the Kansas City Chiefs in it. But if he can do with Justin Herbert, who's already so talented and has the most passing yards in the NFL for the time he's been in the league, then that can start to translate to wins. I think Justin Herbert's very much so a possibility.
It's interesting because he would have been my sixth, and I debated with Cousins, but I wanted a longer price to add to the list. What will the effective, now was Harbaugh going to try to establish a run and be a more physical team? Probably. But then you go back and look at his time in San Francisco. I mean, and going to three straight championship games and doing it with Kaepernick and Smith, right? And so what effect can he have on a quarterback? It's a very interesting choice.
I am of the belief that despite the Chargers being a 5-win team and they have aging and expensive stars. I know they have a lot to figure out with their roster, that I feel like I would be more surprised that if the Chargers had a bad season this year than if they just exceeded all expectations and went to a conference championship. Like, I would be more surprised.
You think they'll win 11 games?
I do.
You do. You're very high on
that. I mean,
that.
I'm not going to go. If their season win total is 11.5 or 10.5, I'm probably not going to bet it.
9.5 or 10.
But I could see double-digit wins for that team for sure.
Here's the one thing I say about that, why I'm not quick to rush to bet they're over, is just that Harbaugh will have enough grace that if he doesn't turn it around right away, there's not going to be a lot, right? He can try to build this team from the lines, from both offensive and defensive lines like he did at Michigan, and not have to worry about first-year results.